Let's talk about an incident that did occur that got reported across this nation, but the poor meteorologist ends up disappearing, basically, from his job. Talk about the amazing Holland, Michigan case.
Yeah, well, I thought that was extraordinarily amazing from a couple different perspectives.
And, of course, you know, David, Holland, Michigan is known for their tulips, but I have a feeling you're not going to be talking about that right now.
No, so I'm not going to talk about that or those wooden shoes they wear either.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's what we're discussing, I guess, is a case that happened in, I think it was March of 94. And basically, we had I don't know how familiar you are with the way that this town is laid out, but Holland is about 40 miles, 45 miles south of another town that's on the Lake Michigan coast called Muskegon.
Yes.
Okay, and at Muskegon, the airport at Muskegon, there was a weather station. National Weather Service ran that station. There was a radar operator working that station that night. And this is the guy that actually watched these unidentified flying objects, I guess, spoofing all over the place. At the same time this was going on, there was also a sighting in Muskegon, which didn't get anywhere near the national attention, although it got plenty of local attention in both the broadcast media and the local newspapers. But this was happening all at the same time. This is where these aircraft were shooting around. We got police officers and I'm literally, I think, 35 to 40 eyewitnesses where these craft are floating over the tops of folks' houses, you know, and I mean, they're standing out there watching them. Cops are looking at them, and I personally knew the deputy because I was on the sheriff's department at that time that was working the Muskegon one that took the complaint out there. But the long and the short of that story, I guess, is that, you know, these things shot away out in the middle of Lake Michigan and disappeared at a speed that the radar operator assessed at close to 10,000 miles an hour. We don't have too many things that will fly that fast, at least not that I'm aware of.
10,000 miles an hour?
Well, that's what they said in the paper, and that's what they quoted him as saying, according to his calculations. Now, how accurate all that is, who knows?
Even if it was 5,000, that's pretty darn fast, you know?
Actually, if it's 500, I mean, it's going to be a real quick Cessna.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really going to be cooking. So, bottom line, I guess, is that that these things happen, and then shortly after that, since Linda was talking about it, I mean, this guy was really hyped up about it. I mean, he called Central Dispatch. Central Dispatch is calling him back. So we got the 911 operator saying, "What's going on?" This guy saying, "Man, I don't know. I don't know. This is bizarre. This is strange." I mean, he's hyped up. He's really nervous and he's really cooking. He's saying, "This is not normal. Whatever it is, it's not something regular." Now, he's just a guy who monitors aircraft and who's dealing with the weather on a regular basis. I mean, he's right there at the airport. His job is to make sure that aircraft and weather don't have you know, repercussions from each other. So overall, the long and short of that story is that, you know, not too long after he made this this news story, he ended up just disappearing. I mean, he ended up out someplace in I think it was Iowa. I'm not sure. But he was just gone. A reporter couldn't get to him if they wanted to. They had no forwarding address. He's gone, and then I think it's like a month or so later we find out he's there, but he's incommunicado. He's really not talking to anybody. Goes on from there, and eventually a year or so later, you know, he's saying, "Well, no, he misread that whole situation. We don't know what happened there."
He changed his whole story.
Yeah, more or less. Or at least that's the way that I've been able to ascertain
it
out. So, yeah, and I don't really know, like I said, any more about that situation than what I've told you.
Well, you know, you've been in law enforcement, as you say. What do you do with a guy who changes his information? Be it a week later or a year later, do you normally believe the first story or the second one?
Yeah, well, if you're a cop, you usually go with your gut instinct.
Yeah.
And so if this guy's just hyped up and if he doesn't have an awful lot of Coke cans laying in the corner, you know, or, you know, a lot of coffee mugs laying around, then you got to think there's something happened to him. I mean, if he seems normal and stationary otherwise, then there's got to be a reason for him to have acted the way that he did. Then there's also got to be a reason for him to have changed his story and act the way that he's acting now. But, you know, who's to say?